Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Are we woke right
We're
now?
We're woke with the sexy vegan himself.
Hello.
Mr. Brian Patton,
it's
how are you?
Excellent to see you. I'm very good. How are
excellent
you?
Excellent to see you.
Good, good, good.
It's
can
been
you
a couple
hear me?
Weeks.
I don't know that I can hear myself in these
I can hear you.
Headphones.
Hold on,
okay.
Hold on, hold on. I'm gonna give you a little.
Give me a little volume. Oh, now we're talking. That's a
now
little.
Now you've got the power.
That's a little too loud.
A little too loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on.
This is scintillating.
How you doing
now
over
that's
there?
Too quiet. Okay, too it's quiet. This one, right?
Oh, yeah,
allow me to adjust my own. Ah, okay. Sorry, everybody. That was the most boring thing ever. So I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What have you been up to? How was your couple weeks that I haven't seen you?
My couple weeks, I don't care about my last couple weeks. What I care about, what I care about is the next 2 weeks when child number two will be born.
Oh, my
yeah.
Baguette.
Yeah, so that's what I care about. I don't... it's going to be a lot of that. Thank you for getting me that early. I don't need
I'm
any
warming
warm
you up to the baby cries.
I don't need it. I'll
you're
have
like, I'm well-versed.
Yeah, I'm well-versed.
So you're prepared to not sleep?
I'm prepared for nothing. People, you know, they know I'm about to have a child. They say, you know, are you ready or are you thinking about it? Or are you planning? I'm doing nothing. I'm having no emotions. I'm having nothing. I'm not letting myself do. I mean, I'm having emotions, but I'm not allowing myself to think about it at all.
A boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
I'll have a boy and a girl, and then factories shut down.
And then
it will be
tying the tubes,
medically impossible.
Snip.
Something's there's going to be a surgery somewhere. I hope it's not that intense. But I know that any planning or any forethought I put into anything or any preparations I do will be tossed out the window the moment that thing arrives.
So you don't want number three.
No.
You know what? In 5 years, when your kids are older,
nope,
you may miss infant stage.
No. I'll just borrow your sound effect,
and then you'll be like, yeah. That's all I need.
Yeah, no, but so I haven't allowed myself to prepare for anything because I know any preparations will just be out the window once the baby arrives.
I can imagine. And you know what? How is your eldest son?
My only son, he's great.
Well,
I mean,
he's your eldest now that the one's on the way.
I mean,
right?
Grammatically, I wouldn't use a superlative when he's only one. There's only one of them. Anyway, sorry.
Well, you
little
know what?
Lesson. I'll give you grammar.
Second one's on the way, so you can't really say that.
Anyway,
the second one's about to. It's going to pop out early now that you just said
I
that.
I know. It could happen like right now.
See?
It could happen anytime.
And I love that you're like, yes, I can do the radio show.
Yeah.
My wife's about
it's
to like,
the
like
last
pop
time
out number
gonna,
two.
It's the last time you're going to hear from me for a very long time. So I thought I'd make my
No, that
grand
makes
finale.
Sense. That
but,
makes sense.
What did you
Is the missus excited?
Yeah, of course she's excited. You know, she's nesting. The nesting is happening. The nursery is being arranged. We did a lot of picture hanging today. I mean me did a lot of picture hanging today and that kind of thing. But child number one, he's like interested. He's curious.
Right,
he talks
right.
to the baby through the belly and he did.
Did he ask you where they come from?
No, but he asked mommy. He said, mommy, how did they get the baby out?
And what did you say?
I wasn't there and mommy just changed the subject. she just wasn't ready to have the conversation. But
I teased my parents that they still haven't given me that conversation. I'm like, you know, I'm
kind of
waiting for that conversation. I still haven't gotten it.
Right,
so they always giggle. They're like, oh, we'll tell you later.
Yeah, so, you know, it's...
Do you have any names?
We have a short list of names.
Are you allowed to reveal any?
No, I'm not.
Really?
No.
Why is that such a secretive thing?
Well,
because I have another friend that's doing the same thing.
For one thing...
I have another friend that just had a baby, and they still won't tell us... his name?
Well, the same thing happened with my first kid. We didn't name him until like 3 days after he was born.
Is that why you didn't tell anybody?
Well, yeah, because we did. There was no like we don't want anybody's outside opinion. We don't want anybody to have say we don't even want to say a name and have someone go or hear any reaction. We just we want to go with our gut and whatever feels right. I know that's like way too much thought to put into something like a name.
So Shaka Zulu is not in the running, is what?
Actually,
you're saying.
It is. How did you know that?
Yes, I knew it.
It's the middle. It's going to be his confirmation name. Actually.
Okay,
but anyway,
her name.
Yeah, actually, we're going to wait for her to gender identify to name.
Okay, all right.
I'm just kidding. That's
well, there's always Shaka Khan Zulu.
Shaka Khan Zulu, not bad. I was thinking Nikhil.
Oh, dude, I'm waiting.
That sounds like a very feminine
name. You
know,
the funny thing is that whenever one of my friends has a baby, I'm like, is Nikhil in the running? It's not. And they give me that sheepish look like, no. And I'm always like, well, why not? Like, go ahead and let's talk. Let's discuss this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm a little disappointed.
No names. Yeah. Sorry. No names.
Are you going to do a play on Brian? Like,
no.
Brianna?
Nope. That's so stupid.
Any like Star Wars? I know you're a big Star Wars fan. Maybe Leia?
Well, you know, actually, I will tell you one thing. When we were having our first kid, we didn't know it was a boy or a girl. We did have my wife call me up and she said, "I have a name if it's a girl." And she said, "Here's what it is. This is a name I can tell you because we're not going to use it." She said, "It's Isley." And in my brain, I'm like, "Holy shit! That's the city in Star Wars is Mos Eisley is where the where the cantina is." But I'm not going to say that out loud because I don't want her to be.
So what did you say? You were
I said, that sounds. Yeah, I played it real cool. I was like, that sounds like a really good name. I like that. She goes, I know it's from Star Wars. I'm like, okay. But we ended up not having a girl, and now we've moved on past that name. We've gotten to other names, so we're not going to use that name.
Okay. Do you know the name right now?
No, we have like two or three names.
Is it begin with a letter?
No, it doesn't. It begins with a symbol.
Okay.
Of course, it begins with a letter.
So which letter does it begin with?
Well, there's two different ones.
Okay. What are they?
Let's see. Actually, well, the main one is R.
R. The Rebecca. Main one's,
no.
Easily Rebecca.
Nope, it's not.
Rachel.
Nope.
Rihanna.
Nope.
Rhiannon.
Nope. Ooh, actually, that's Rihanna, not bad. I love Rihanna, that. Yeah, I love Rihanna. I love that song, too.
Yeah, me too.
It's a really
me
good song.
Me too.
No. I wouldn't tell you if you got it anyway. I might make a weird face.
Ravi
Shankar. You won't get it. Nope.
That's not what
believe
either.
It or not, no. All right, let's get off of this.
Well, you start to sweat.
Everybody's so bored right now. Everybody's here is this
Well, I had a fun week. We'll go into that.
Well, I know that you've got a big thing coming up.
I've got a big thing coming up.
I'm very stoked for you, yeah.
You know what? And that was a tough thing. That was like having a baby.
Yeah.
Not really, but let me tell you. So we're playing.
Your thing will end.
My thing will end.
And mine won't.
And yours so it's will not like be 18 years of, yeah. Oh my God, what shouldn't I have used birth control?
Right.
I'm just kidding. Totally joking. Your wife's going to be like, I'm going to kick Nikki in the nuts. I'm playing this huge festival at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, very awesome.
With Tom Petty and Mumford & Sons.
The lineup is incredible.
It's through Golden Voice, who's the promoter of Coachella.
Sure.
And I'm super excited because I think we're the only indie band on the list.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
The other thing is, the meters I've waited to see since I was in high school. I've met Zigaboo Modalist, who is one of my favorite drummers.
Actually, that's one of the names on our list.
See? I'm giving it all away. It's not even an R.
No.
Rigaboo Modalist. So, they don't really tour together anymore, and they've recently been touring.
How awesome.
I was going to fly to New Orleans to see them. That's how much I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was pretty crazy to see them on the list. And, Preservation Jazz Hall Band is playing.
Yeah.
Lettuce. You know, The Shins, Weezer.
Yeah, Weezer, sure.
Tom Petty was like my first concert I ever went to.
He's so damn good.
And I've done Summerfest with him, but to see him again, it was like, this is crazy.
Right.
This is awesome. Yeah. So I'm super excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And so that happened.
Yeah.
And then last week, I'm sitting in a coffee shop right next to my house, and Pino Palladino walks in. Pino Palladino,
I don't know who that is.
One of my favorite bassists of all time, and he happens to be alive now. He's played with Nine Inch Nails, John Mayer, Eric Badu, Eric Clapton, The Who. I mean, he's my favorite bass player.
Wow.
And I ended up...
So what do you do? Like
okay, so
like when somebody like that walks in and I see them, I just walk out. And
well,
like,
no.
I'm not
it was
them.
Crazy. Like, and he was walking out of the bathroom, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I immediately just sprung up, and I just walked up to him. I was like, "Dude, Pino, you're one of my favorite musicians of all time. I'm like, and he's like, oh, thanks, man. And I said, you know, I've been waiting 10 years to meet you.
Wow.
Like, and he thought I was like just a super fan. He's sure. Like, oh, do you play bass? Or, you know, I was like, no, I'm in a band. You know, I've opened for Dave Matthews and played Bonnaroo and done all these festivals. But I said, you're like the most pocket bass player of anybody, you know? And he's like, and this is what just like leveled me. He was like, oh, I'm just trying to hang in there. And I was like,
very humble.
Oh my God. I mean, he really is like the best. And I said, my dream rhythm section is actually you and Steve Jordan. I met Steve Jordan a while ago and talked to him about it. And, you know, you're the person that I've been waiting to meet because he's the missing link. You know?
Right.
So he was like, oh, yeah, you come to this coffee shop a lot? I'm like, yeah, this is my coffee shop. He's like, me too.
So what, he lives near you or something?
So that's the other thing. I'm like, so where do you live? He's like, I live a block from here. I'm like, I live a mile from here.
Wow.
And he's like, that's crazy. And I said, yeah. So I just talked to him about collaborating. So, yeah, we exchanged info, which was super sweet. My hands were shaking.
Are you sure he gave you the right number?
Or he gave me the right number. I texted him and I sent him an email with all my links. So that all happened.
Wow.
And then I can't say much about this next part, but I wrote for a very big pop star.
What letter do their name start with?
I cannot tell you that.
Oh, come on. I just told you.
But,
damn it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been pretty, that's awesome, pretty surreal. You know, Brian, like, a lot of people don't know this on the air, but you are one of my most loyal fans.
Oh, that's true.
So you've been there
from the beginning. Yeah,
you've seen, like, how it's evolving. So, you know what? It's people like you. So thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. No,
thank you. No. Thank you.
Okay.
And with that, I think our special guest has arrived, Mr. John Mulane.
Oh, hello, John.
The studio audience loves you already.
They do.
You see that?
That's a captive audience.
You may get closer to the microphone.
Yeah, I'm going to have you come in. There you go. Nice.
Very dear.
So you hail all the way from Canada.
I am originally from Canada, yes.
What part of Canada?
Nova Scotia, Halifax, Nova Scotia.
And I ask this because I have actually lived in Halifax, Nova
Scotia.
Swear to God.
No.
I read your bio,
yes.
And I was like, Halifax, Nova Scotia, what are the chances? So I was born in Canada.
Yeah.
I was born in St. John's, Newfoundland.
So you're Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
Good.
I was only there for about 2 years of my life. The second year of my life, or the second and third, were in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Yeah, so like my first real memories are of Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I have to go back because everybody says, oh my God, it's so different, obviously, because it's just become, it used to be kind of like a fisherman's town, and now it's much more commercialized and just awesome, and so I don't know, I wanted to ask you that first, when was the last time you went back?
Well, actually this past fall and summer, because I moved here in May. I've been coming to LA quite a bit in the last couple of years, but so I was living in Halifax until, you know, recently, but I've gone back a couple times, and the city's, you know, changed so much since you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
It's been...
I bet.
It's really an international city. There's a lot of things that happen there that people don't realize. There's a lot of movies that get made there, TV series, and they're
and they have great seafood. Like, the seafood's, well, like, some of the best in Nova Scotia.
You want lobster, that's where you go.
Yep.
And it's kind of a well-kept secret in the summer, because it's kind of like... here, it's got oceans and beaches. It's not terribly hot, and it's not as expensive as here. You have to live there, so.
But it does get cold in the winter.
Very cold.
Don't think I didn't forget about that, because there are many times I was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy cold."
Yeah,
I do remember that.
You want to be here. You want to be somewhere warm in the winter. But it's a great place to live.
Yeah,
quality of life. Had a pretty good music scene. That's going through changes. It's kind of like
as every music scene is.
Oh my God, yeah, it's dropped off. So. But no, it's really, you should go back soon.
It's on my list. And you know what the other city is? St. John's, Newfoundland, which I don't remember at all.
Okay.
And I just want to go back just because, oh my God, I was born there and know nothing about the city. So I want to go back there and just say, hey, you know, just to see how it's different, because that also I've heard is completely different, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, some cities stay the same. They're small towns.
Yeah.
They stay small towns, and you have like little additions. But those two cities I've heard have greatly advanced on all levels in population, in vibe, commercialism, restaurants, scenes, industries. So I've actually done some research on it, and it's on my list to go back now. So
it's almost the perfect combination of sort of a smaller city and a lot of stuff that goes on with it, and then environment, like, you know, water and beaches and that sort of thing.
Well, let's enough about being the travel
Is there
bureau.
Anybody there you know who will let me stay with them? Because I'm thinking of immigrating out of here to Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Call the Trump?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trump?
Yeah.
Trump.
Just me, though. By myself. It would be just me.
Well, anywhere in Canada is a safe haven.
Okay, good. You know. I'm in.
Yeah, you're
give me, I'll get you. I'll get some info later.
If you see a guy that looks like him with mysterious sideburns and a beard all of a sudden.
right.
Be very suspect.
Yeah, I plan to get some tattoos, too, if I ever have to disappear somewhere. I shouldn't have said that.
There you go.
Actually,
see,
this is my leading, whole plan.
Leading yourself right back to where you started from. Well, let's get back to you, John, and the music. Yeah. Tell us, like, what was the moment of zen that you had that made you want to become a musician?
It's a long time ago. I mean, I was kind of a sports kid growing up, you know, very young. And I moved to a neighborhood, and I was around 12 or 13 years old, 12, I think. And there was this band, this neighborhood band, and they had this cool little rehearsal space. And I went down one night, and it was the first time I ever heard drums and electric guitars, you know, the power of that band. Because in school, you know, you're singing choirs and stuff like that.
Yep.
I grew up Catholic and, you know, shit like that. It's nothing wrong with the Catholic Church. I'm not, doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that the music isn't so hip. So. anyway, I love this energy, the sound coming out of this band. And at the same time, there was like two or three girls watching them. And I thought,
there's
that's
a ticket.
That's a real good combination. Music, this power.
Music,
and
power,
girls.
And girls.
Yeah. So I was hooked at 12. And I just felt, you know, since then, I couldn't even play an instrument. I mean, I didn't even know what I was able to do. So.
Well, you said you started singing in the church choir. Like,
well,
how old were you then?
Yeah, I mean, everyone sort of sang in that. I was, you know, even younger than that. So, but I wasn't good, you know.
Right.
I was not good at all. So I had to learn. I bought a bass, actually, first. I bought a bass, and then I bought a guitar, a really terrible old, like an ES-350 copy, and the strings were, like, you know, an inch from the frame. So,
I'm never going to learn
it. Yeah, I mean, it was really, really tough at first. So, anyway, I picked up instruments, worked hard at you know, becoming at least competent as a musician.
Why did you pick up a bass first?
I think because that band needed a bass player.
And
I was thinking, they're going to let me in. And
it's always facility, man.
I bought the bass, and it's like a month later, I still couldn't play very well, and they still wouldn't let me in. So my first big rejection of the music.
You mean you couldn't perfect bass in a month? What's wrong with you?
No, I don't know.
Well, you know what? Little word of the wise. Steve Ray Vaughan got kicked out of his first band.
Oh, did he?
So if he got kicked out of his first band, I'm sure those guys are like, man, we probably shouldn't have done that.
Right.
We probably should have kept him in the band. So you know what? Here you are showing them.
Yeah.
Who's the boss now, right?
That's true, man. It's like I got my revenge on that. What can I say?
Awesome.
But it's good. It was it's the learning experience of youth. And it was all good, you know.
And so, like, what was the band that made you want to play music? Like, there had to be something on the radio that you were like, I want to do that. That's it, right there.
I was influenced by, you know, so not one band. I mean, I love U2 and I love rock music. I love Kiss and all that sort of classic rock too, but. I was in Halifax. They'd pipe in these AM stations from the U.S. every night, you know. And so I always fall asleep by the radio. And so I hear all this music, this great music, you know, all kinds of different music, R&B and even country and sort of thing, all kinds of different formats. And I just was hooked by great songs. So that's what inspired me the most, to become a songwriter and write great songs and perform them. So,
how old were you when that moment happened for you?
Well, again, I think it was like early 12 or 13. I didn't start writing songs until I was probably later in my teens. And, you know, not really seriously until in my 20s, actually, writing songs. So,
and did you have, like, a creative capacity from young? Did you, like, write stories or anything like that? Like, did you have the sort of artistic or creative... I don't know what word I'm looking for. Instinct. Sure. I got there.
Take your time.
I basically started writing lyrics. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I did. Little stories, poems, or whatever. And trying to put them to music. And I was better at lyrics at that point than I was at music. So.
That's tough, actually.
Oh,
that's tough to marry that first. That was ambitious. That's where that, like, instinct for the bass first comes from, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm going to make this incredibly tough for myself. Let's start with the bass and lyrics. Do it.
Well, you, as a songwriter, most people will realize that, you know, eventually you just, it's, I mean, people can do it, that I really applaud them, but you can't, it's really hard to put lyrics and then make up a melody to those lyrics. It's, you know, now it's always like a melody inspires the lyrics.
Yeah.
And make almost the words make happen from that melody. But at that time I was, you know, that I was kind of interested in English, and in university I was psychology, I got a degree in psychology, so I was kind of interested in the human condition, so I was writing about that sort of thing. And then eventually, you know, I caught up. I bought a, you know, a little recording studio, like something like that. It looks like a little box that records four tracks or eight
little
tracks.
What was that? Like a Tascam? Tascam four-track?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's, you know what? I was actually looking for the tape that I first made.
All right, right.
I've been looking for it for about 10 years, and somehow it's misplaced, and it's pissing me off because...
Right.
Those early recordings, it shows the spark and the interest and the simplicity that maybe as you get better, you forget. You know what I mean? So sometimes I like going backwards to like listen to those old ideas and be like, oh, there was something cool here that I forgot about that I didn't give it the right credit.
Yeah.
So those four tracks, I almost like, you know, obviously I'm not going to go get a four track right now because you don't need to.
No.
But there was something about that process.
Yeah.
That was magical because it was the first
you were
time
more
you, could do it.
You were connected to it. You're pushing buttons, and it was just you had four tracks. So
you were the engineer.
You were
and
the engineer,
the producer
and
the musician.
You know, you had a limited. You know, you had to do a lot with just the four tracks, and so you really had to put a lot of thought into putting it all together. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I totally feel that.
Yeah.
So who was like one of the biggest songwriters that influenced your writing style?
Well, I really like David Bowie. I always really like Bowie, and all through his different stages. So, you know, he was probably...
What a true artiste,
oh
right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, just incredible talent. And what I liked about him, too, is his voice, because when I sort of started music, a lot of singers had very high voices, and I couldn't sing high. I have a baritone voice, and it's actually gotten higher since I've been, you know, getting, you know, woodshedding with my voice. But really, it was actually not... I didn't have a lot of range at first, so... Mm-hmm. When David Bowie, you know, he does have a great range. It's a lower range.
Yeah.
It's like it's such a great, rich voice. I loved his voice, too.
And the timbre of his voice.
Oh,
awesome.
My God, yeah.
It's like you can hear him in a crowd of 50 and still know that he's singing. That's what I like.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, he's very unique. And that's I think that's still what sets apart you know, an artist. If you don't sound like everybody else, you've got your own unique sound. Mm-hmm. That's important. I think that's still important.
You know what's interesting? Like you growing up in Halifax... You were drawn to actually a lot of the artists that had the same climates. I think this is like... I think about this a lot.
Yeah.
I think about this a lot.
Okay.
Like I am drawn to a lot of artists that are that have completely opposite climates. Like I love U2. I love Coldplay. I love those bands that have like some dark, brooding stuff. And then there's this other part of me. It's like, oh yeah, I need that like sunny, happy reggae, you know, thing because I grew up in Southern California, so that's a part of my thing. So that's like my yin and my yang. And I find that what's interesting is a lot of people in similar climates, they listen to music in the same... It resonates in a different way.
Huh.
Isn't that strange?
I've never
thought about it until about like 5 or 6 years ago. I was talking to my buddy John. I'm like, man, sometimes I just wish I could write a song just like straight up like a Coldplay. And he's like, well, think about it. He's like, you grew up in sunny California. They grew up in Liverpool.
Right,
it was
right.
Like raining 340 days of the year.
They put cold in their name,
yes,
for Christ's sake.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so... You know, it has an influence on the thought.
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, the whole grunge sound came out of a certain area, a certain climate.
Yeah.
And it was similarly, you know, the themes were similar. The, you know, it was sort of that.
But nobody
dark...
ever talks about that. Like,
yeah.
It does have a huge impact on how music is created. You know what I mean? I mean, it makes sense. It's such a natural thing that you be influenced by the environment that you live in. You know what I mean?
Well, and another thing, being in Canada, we're very influenced by Europe, and especially England. There's a lot of blending there.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually part of it, too.
What about Great Big Sea? That's a famous Canadian band, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know my stuff.
Wow, that's a good one.
That's right.
No, it's true, and I mean, there's that influence. But interestingly enough, like I really like the Eagles and some of those, you know, America.
Yeah,
I get a little stir about them. I'll tell you in a bit. So I did like some of that warm stuff too, and I always liked the Beach Boys, uh-huh. very influenced by their song.
That's your yin and yang. It totally makes sense.
It is, and I used to watch these, you know, these movies on TV, these old 50s movies, you know, with Frankie Avalon, and I think that's what LA is, and it's, you know, it might have been that way at one time, but it certainly isn't anymore.
I want to get back to that.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. It would be nice. But it's just like I always envision myself going to LA, going to California. So there is that yin and the yang. What you said, it's very, very
and true. You know, it's funny, like not I think a lot of musicians we forget, like thinking about that, but you know, Philadelphia, like Daryl Hall and John Oates came from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And they would talk about how much they're influenced by soul music.
Yeah.
And that was the heart and soul of soul music, that city.
Yeah.
So it's like environment has a lot to do with it. The, you know, civil rights, all that stuff. Where you are, it's all related. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
It's just kind of interesting. Let's get to you doing a performance.
What are
you
going
to play for us first?
I think I'll do first single that's off my album Shine. It's kind of the song that brought me to the United States, called My New American Girl.
All right.
Mm. All right. Track one. I'm ready.
Take a little water here. Can I hear myself in my headphones?
Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, I think that's better. All right. Want me to start, or you want to introduce this?
Oh no, you
did.
My new American girl.
Yeah, there we go.
Wait, hold on. I'll give you a proper introduction.
Yeah,
hold
so
on.
You get that little
hold
thing
on. There. John Mulaney. My new American girl.
She's the fire. She's desire. She's the news of the world. A perfect smile. A little wild. There's nobody like her. So typical, a little naughty but nice. She's got everything, got a spell on me. She's like fire and ice. She's my new American girl. So bad she's good for me. She's my new American girl. Loving what she does to me.
Like so refreshing.
You
that's such a refreshing
the
type of song to hear.
The
I gotta
Canadian
say, I love that.
Dreaming of the new American girl. I love it.
Yeah,
crossing love, crossing borders for love.
Canadian boy loves American girl.
Yeah,
of course, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love how you did this drum matching the lyrics too. Like you did that. That's awesome. I love when people think of arrangement, even in solo acoustic songs.
I don't usually do the solo acoustic thing at all, and even when I do, I usually have a guitar player with me, so this is a little bit unusual. It's fun, but when you hear the track, it's totally produced. I mean, it's like a, you know, it's
no, but that's what makes it fun. I love acoustic shows you like how strong the song is, totally. And when it can run, like really just ring true like that.
Yeah.
When you add like 20 instruments, it's gonna just drive, you know.
No, it's I was thinking with that song just before I played it, like we were talking about the influence. Now that to me, I mean, if I hear that song, that sounds like a very American song.
Sure.
Almost like, and there's Beach Boys and the band The Cars influence the vocals. And
I was thinking Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you not like hearing that?
No, listen. I love Rick Springfield.
But I mean, that's a rock and roll tune, like we don't even have to hear like new music like that anymore. That's why I said that was so refreshing to hear.
Yeah, good tunes,
like just good like tunes. Like rock and roll, like that was like a solid rock tune that if
very,
I ever heard one.
Very simple and fun.
Yeah,
I think a lot of fun has gone into music in the last few
years. Totally.
You know, I think people want
to become dark and brooding and
totally. The show's gone away. And you mentioned Rick. I mean, I've met Rick a couple of times and worked with his producer, one of his guys, the guitar player, Jeff Silverman, and. Rick's a cool guy, and this guy's like 67 or something, and he is rocking. He is in great shape.
He's a badass.
He is, man. I mean, you saw him with Dave Grohl.
Sound City.
Right.
This guy is a serious musician, and you know, I'm labeled this too. Like, I call myself like my music pop influenced rock. You know, if you've watched me as a rock, it's a rock band, man. It's not heavy metal, but it's rock and energy.
Yeah.
And you know, when you put pop in it, people seem to think that's fluffy or it doesn't have any.
No, but it just means popular. It's like
that's all it is.
Drives me crazy when people are like, "Oh, pop music." It's like, wait a minute, just because you know it says pop doesn't mean it's not good. Like,
right?
Exactly.
It means popular. That's really what pop music is.
No, it's true, and I think that you know there should be a little allowance for that. And you know, Rick was, you know, he was on the soap opera and he had all this other stuff going on that was, you know. Not again. People validate him as a great musician, but he really is a great musician.
Yeah. He is. I wouldn't say he's a great actor, but he is a great musician.
No comment.
I actually wrote a song about Rick Springfield. If you can believe that,
oh, really?
It's called "Where Have All the Rick Springfields Gone?"
Oh,
that's
I'm not
amazing.
Even kidding.
Why? Have
it's
you not
literally
heard
about.
Yet?
It's literally about what we're talking about.
Oh,
like
God.
He just had it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just he rocked like a line of the song is like, I can't even remember my own song, but. He wooed the girls with his alluring air and still rocked it for the dudes. So he had everything. So it's funny that we're talking about that.
No, he was. I mean, he was the man. He was the man. I mean, he still is. But I mean, that era too.
Yeah,
where it was like poppy rock.
Yeah.
It was grooving. It was like in your face, but also super melodic.
Great songs.
That's what's missing in rock and roll.
Great song. Yeah.
I think Green Day's kind of carrying that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Weezer also does.
But they're old bands too.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's
bad.
Weird to hear.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They've been around for a while.
Like Weezer's an old band, but yeah, they are.
These guys got to be in their 40s by now, you know? And it's like, not that that's old, just saying that they've been around for a long time.
No.
And new music now is like, again, I think there's an incredible amount of people like all of us that want this stuff, that want to listen to this stuff.
There, I mean, there is. And that's a weird thing. It's like Drake. I mean, no offense to Drake, but
He's Canadian now.
I know, but man, the music.
It's not good.
I haven't heard it.
It's really just not. And he's so popular, but it's just because like the industry is just like pumping.
Right.
You know, with more.
Look,
malleable pop stars.
Sure, if the company puts enough money behind a guy, people will like it. Like people just like whatever you show them.
Well, but they used to put it behind like Michael Jackson,
right.
You too, Duran Duran, like good music,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's like now it's so different.
Yeah.
It's like oh, this is what's trending. I'm watching this new series. It's called The Sun Records, and I actually recorded in Sun Studio, and it's super fascinating to me to see like what those guys are thinking of trends and what's hip and what's not hip. And I'm like, man, it's the same like philosophy, but it's just 50 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which
is so funny.
It's like, oh, you know, stay away from this and that because that's not hip, but this is hip. And it's like, dude, it should just, if it's good, it should just be heard.
Right.
That's the way it should be.
I agree. I mean, that's what we talked about originally about me growing up, you know, and listening to AM radio. Everything was on AM radio at that point. There was no, like, you know, like now radio is so homogenized. It's like, you turn on a pop station, it's just Katy Perry and it's Lady Gaga and it's all that.
That's
stuff.
Why I do this. This is my passion. Like, I love doing this show because of that.
It's great. I mean, I really applaud you for doing that because if you look at any of these award shows and listen to these pop stations,
generic.
Do you hear guitar?
No.
Do you hear musicians?
No.
I mean, I'm not.
But then you see somebody like Bruno Mars. That guy yeah. is the real deal.
Right.
Playing guitar solos, dancing, singing, writing, arranging. Yeah. I mean, that is like I have a sigh of relief when I see an artist like that.
Right.
And then you see like a band like Metallica still touring. You see bands like Pearl Jam.
Sure.
That's Brian's favorite band. Yeah. They still are making records and making badass records and still are pushing the envelope, still making it real. You know, U2 still doing the same thing. You know, so there are bands that are doing it like that. And eventually the truth will kind of like shine and the cream rises to the top.
We hope so.
You know,
I always believe that. I mean, again, even those artists I mentioned, I don't have anything against those artists. I think some of the songs are great. Some of the Lady Gaga songs are really good, but all of it, there's too much of it. It's just the pendulum.
It's homogenized.
Too much. There's not a balance like
there's not diversity.
Yeah. Right. I think that's the issue with the music business. And there's, it's divided people into groups now, the rock group and the pop group and the hipster group.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's that?
Right.
I agree.
You know, it's strange, you know, but the good music is good music. And, you know, just let it be, let it flow out there.
Well said, John. We like that. Well, let's talk a little bit about what are you going to play next from your record? Let's do a studio.
Oh,
track.
Sure, yeah, we can do that.
What do you want to play?
Okay, well, let's see. Let's do we'll do this sort of in order. So the second single, that was the first single, and I actually just so you guys might like to do this, that song, American Girl, actually charted at number 32 on the Billboard chart.
Wow, awesome. That's crazy.
Yeah, so actually, only a Canadian independent act at that time.
Fantastic.
Very proud. So the second single, we had some radio on it, but released as a video, and the video got a lot of traction. Won a couple of awards. This is like 2 years ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Any Other Way. It's a ballad, and it's kind of a, you know, for it's kind of a power ballad, for a lack of a better term.
I love power ballads.
It's a modern version of a power ballad.
Oh, great. So, can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Wait. Should I do my little lead-in? Hold on. Wait for it.
It's always
weird
when you do the drum thing, because then it's like, oh, that sounds like part of the song. I'm going to let the space go. All right.
Now I try. Can't get over it. Can't get used to it. And I try. Don't know what to do, can't get over you. And I try not to feel the pain that I hide. I keep it inside. And if I could love you any other way, I would be with you. And if I could find you, I would run away. Yeah.
followed that up.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the perfect description
of it.
You
can put
the
lighter down, Brian.
Huh? I know, right? That was well-deserving of a lighter. Like, absolutely.
The lighter's going.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's like, Brian, you can take your head off my shoulder, too.
Guys, come on. Nobody's supposed to know about that. That's why we're on the radio. Jeez.
You know what? If there's ever a song to do it for you, I'm happy that it was John Mulaney's, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have it any other way, Nikhil.
Any other way? You know what? You're good. You're good, buddy. You're good.
I do what I can.
This is why we have you back on the show, Sexy Vegan.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right, John, so let me ask you this. Yeah. You came all the way from Canada to Los Angeles. That had to shock your system on every good, bad wavelength possible.
How long ago did you come to Los Angeles?
Well, say the single was released, and it was like, you know, okay, I've got to get here. I've got to go to the States. I went to New York and a bunch of other cities, too, and eventually coming here and loved it here, actually. So it's been a couple of years.
Okay. So you recorded it in Canada. You were like a Canadian resident for up until very recently, and then you're like, all right, got my recording. Let's go hit the States and...
Well, you know, and I've had songs in the top 40 on Canadian radio, like commercial radio too, but I've never had any in the States. So when this song broke a couple years ago, I thought, here's an opportunity to go down there, not just go, because everyone's coming down here to do something, but if you don't really have something going on, what's the point? So then I thought, well, this is a really good, open door, and we just made a few things happen, and it came down, and just turns out when I came here, I really, really like the vibe of it. I like the people here. I like
the best
a lot
city.
Of things. It's a great
city.
It is
the best city. Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of traveling since then. I'm finding, like, I really, people like to kind of be honest, shit on the States a little bit. I think it's this or that.
We get a bad rap.
Sometimes
we
you
do.
Sometimes you do. But, really, I've always encountered really good people everywhere I've gone, and I do see a difference in between America and Canada, but... it's still there's great people everywhere, and I think if you kind of have that mindset, if you're going to attract those people and you're going to be doing something good, they will come around for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been my approach. So it was a shock, but it wasn't a shock because I've been in Toronto's a huge city too, so it's not like it's much different. From
I just
Toronto.
Went to Toronto.
Yeah,
I love Toronto.
So it's
but I was disappointed with some of their coming from LA. Their like ethnic cuisine. I was a little bit like, it's not as good as LA or New York.
Like what kind of food?
Like Thai food.
Yeah.
You would think that, because there's immigrants in every part of the world. But when you come from LA or New York, where it's so dense and there's like, there's so many different gastropubs and there's so many food trucks, that whole phenomenon started here. So when you go anywhere else, your expectations of what should be at a certain level are very high. So I definitely noticed, I was like, I went to like 6 or 7 places in Toronto. And I was like, the food here is really good, but it does not compare to LA or New York. Like LA or New York, it's just you have so much diversity. I mean, on my block alone, there's a pho place, there's a Korean barbecue place, there's a sandwich joint, a French place. I mean, it's just like New York. I mean, New York's like that too, with one curb. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah,
the one thing I love about Toronto is the music scene, film scene is super vibrant.
Very good.
And it's starting to become like, super diverse, in that regard. But, I was definitely like, so excited, except for the food. I was like, all right, now I gotta just like lower the bar a little bit. Toronto,
right.
Toronto, give me some good food next time. But I did have some poutine.
You
must miss poutine.
Well, I have to admit, I'm a pretty healthy eater.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, gravy and cheese.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's one thing, you can eat it like once a year. You can't eat it more than that. Yeah.
I mean, my thing is chocolate. I'm like drinking chocolate milkshake and stuff like this. So I can't have any judgment of anybody else making French fries or something.
Uh-huh.
It's like, but yeah, I think you allow yourself that, once in a while. We went to Toronto in just before Christmas, and actually went to a Indian restaurant. It was very good. So,
You're speaking my language.
Yeah,
speaking my language,
now,
too.
Now, you do know you're talking to an Indian that has been to India. Like it took me 6 years to find an Indian restaurant in L.A.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Samosa House West.
No.
Huh?
Oh, man. I'm going to...
Educate me.
My Yura is the best Indian
Where
restaurant.
Is that?
It's on Venice and Motor. They're going to love that. I'm going to tell them I'm plugging them on the radio. It's the best Indian restaurant in all of LA. Jonathan Gold, who's an LA food critic,
of course.
It's been on his list of 100 best restaurants in Los Angeles 4 years in a row.
Wow.
And when I met him, I said, thank you for putting my Yura on your list. He said, I went there for dinner last night. Wow. It's that good.
I'll have to check it out.
I'm telling you.
All right.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Just telling you.
Vegan options.
Vegetarian, yeah. Non-vegetarian, two separate kitchens.
Yep. I love it.
North Indian, South Indian.
Oh.
Dishes you can't get anywhere else in the world.
All right. All right.
I'm telling you.
It's
the best.
Indian's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm telling you. All right. So, anyway, aside from that. Yeah. Love Indian food. You tell I'm passionate.
Yes,
passionate.
Me too.
I feel it.
Yes. So have you worked in any of the cool studios in L.A.? Have you been like thinking about doing another record? Are you still pushing this record? Are you touring? Where are you playing out?
Well, basically, yeah, we are. Still the single, current single, this one is Born Beautiful. And that's got a lot of traction. The video's been, again, winning some awards. Hollywood Music and Media Award, L.A. Critic Music Award.
Do you like making videos? Do you like the process of doing that whole thing?
I actually do. I mean, it's a long day,
right?
But I do like the creative, and especially if there's something really meaning behind the video, which this particular song does have. It's almost it's talking about loving yourself and self worth, and there's an anti suicide message in the video. So
that's cool.
Was really like, wow, this is great. And all I had to do was sing, so I
didn't
have to. You do the easy part, but it's still pretty taxing.
It is. It's a long day, but we can't complain. Like we're here
making
music.
I know.
And it's like we're not digging ditches. Oh, I was digging a ditch the other day in my girlfriend's garden. Digging up the thing, but I thought
right.
I'm still digging ditches.
I'm not making music videos.
You know. It's like I do appreciate everything, and I love making music videos. So that's the current single, and we're still getting traction on that, and. I'm doing some different types of little shows. Doing a little show on Saturday night. I can tell you about in a second. It's a little bit offbeat. Got some new music coming. I haven't been recording in some of the big studios, but I'm still recording with my friend and producer in Canada, in Toronto, and we do a lot of stuff over the internet. So there's two or three, four new songs.
Brian does some stuff over the internet too.
Well, let's not talk about that. It's a different show.
Yeah,
much different show.
I'm just kidding. But you are actually doing stuff.
I do, but not like all the gutter people, gutter brain people think that you're talking about.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What are you going to play for us next?
Okay, so I will do that current single, Born
Great.
Beautiful.
Perfect. And, that was a good lead-in.
Yeah.
What can I say? All right, so Born Beautiful.
Love you know
Brian.
You guys.
I think you were born beautiful.
I think we're all born beautiful.
I couldn't look at him and see.
I know.
We didn't make any eye contact.
The weird thing is,
it was very awkward. It was very awkward.
Tension between you two the whole time. I was like, I felt like a third wheel. I was like, should I leave? Should I stay? It was tough.
Yeah.
No, that was beautiful. Yeah. And you know what? That was very Weezer to me.
Oh, really?
Very Weezer. Yeah. Like Weezer, Green Day, melodic pop rock.
Yeah,
you have like a distorted guitar on that.
Oh yeah, like,
yeah.
It's almost,
see,
and there's almost like a Coldplay YouTube thing going on there too.
Yep.
So speaking of the influences,
anthemic,
and very
that anthemic thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's that song, you know, that again, it's a little more serious, but it's got a great message, and people have really connected with it. I mean, I can't believe you how many letters and emails and. You know, and my manager here, she gets, you know, all the stuff from Instagram we've had and all the great response.
Yeah.
It's like very. It's what, been very
what's your Instagram handles and all the social media stuff?
Yeah, where can people
stuff?
Find you?
Yeah.
Well, it's what is it?
I love that he's
John
like what?
Mulaney,
I don't know. What
that's,
is,
I mean,
what
that's
is,
a, that's a rock star right there. A rock star doesn't freaking know his. Yeah,
but
his,
he was
Instagram
making
demands
like, hey, did you get that video on Facebook?
Right.
Oh my God! Shameless self promotion.
That's right. That's right.
At John Mulaney, I guess. At John Mulaney. Hashtag John Mulaney.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Yeah, it's J O N M U L L A N E. No H in the John, but John Mulaney, J O H. Well, just look at my website at johnmulaney.com.
Uh-huh.
So we thought more people will spell Joe H.
Of course, yeah. So,
but yeah, so I'm pretty easily findable on.
Excellent.
They can find you.
Interwebs.
They find you.
So you said that you were playing somewhere on Saturday night.
Yeah, I am actually. Well, it's kind of different because it's with my better half, my much prettier half, my beautiful girlfriend Susie. We are going to be doing a show together. We've been doing this kind of thing on the internet, actually. With we
easy now.
See, he does those things on the internet too. It's not just me, Nikhil.
This is going a whole different path. We have this. So I'm from Canada, right? So you know, we both like to joke around about things. So there's an imaginary band called Canada, and we only play America songs.
Oh, that's awesome!
So you can look us up. We've actually even got a YouTube channel, and but there's stuff on Facebook that we've done a couple of America songs. So a little opportunity came up. We wanted this little acoustic show, and I said, you know, should we do it? And so we're going to do a couple of my songs. We're going to do a couple of America songs, and we're doing a little recording project together too, which is completely different. But so this Saturday night we're going to perform together. She's a really good singer too.
Yeah. Where at?
That is a bar 20 on Sunset. Yeah.
Oh, okay, bar so 20.
I was like, that's where I'll be.
Right,
Mark.
Right.
led by the collar, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's so this is different for me. It's going to be fun. Like it's going to be a really fun little thing and sort of a side project. And so that's Saturday night, and then doing a full band show. I think at the end of May at. Oh my God! You guys are gonna get it.
What was that?
E-spot.
I love it.
I'm being fed this stuff. And so yeah, near the
and
email.
By the way, you're having oatmeal for breakfast tomorrow
with blueberries.
Yes.
What's your band arrangement? What is your who do you got?
Well, it's normally a 4-piece band. Uh-huh. So I think you've had Rob Bonfilio in here.
Rob
plays guitar.
Oh,
for
that's
me.
Awesome.
Yeah, Marcus Blake plays bass and a couple of different drummers, and some of us have keyboards as well. But it's kind of a 4-piece unit, usually like a rock and roll unit.
Very cool.
And so we've done some shows in LA, you know, through the past year. But this one will be coming up at the end of May, and then looking to get on a tour, you know, next few months as well, and do a few more acoustic shows. So
very
you know,
cool.
Just things popping up here.
Yeah, good players make great music. I love it.
Oh, totally,
Rob's
a
great dude.
Oh, fantastic player too. Yeah, great guy too. Yeah.
He's top notch. You weren't here when
I do not believe
in.
I was here.
He came in about 5 weeks ago.
I was not here 5 weeks
great
ago.
Great cat. That was awesome.
Well, the other thing I want to mention too, I'm part of something called the Live the Dream Tour Foundation, and that's sort of a collective of like-minded artists who you know want to inspire upcoming musicians and kids about you know becoming a musician, becoming artists and stuff. So We'll be doing some probably tour dates with that as well. So if you want to check that out, livethedreamfoundation.org.
That's awesome.
It's a charitable, and you can.
Are you doing like? Are you performing at like high schools and?
Yeah, we'll go, middle schools. We'll
or?
Go into that in the community and that sort of thing, and then do some full concerts in halls, you know, that sort of thing.
That's awesome.
So that'll come up probably a bit later this year, but that's been in the works for a little while. We did a show at the Wilshire Rebell last July, inaugural show. And that's coming up again in July as well. So if people want to find out about that, they can go to that website and they can make a donation to the foundation as well. And I'm very excited about that.
Wow, so awesome.
Good things.
I like that.
Well, John, you've been an awesome guest.
Yeah.
A lot of great things happening.
Love the songs, man.
Thank you.
Brian
really
and
excellent.
I wish you nothing but the best. We're going to have you back. Because
oh,
that's
lovely.
The way this works.
Perfect.
Because we're going to push you up all the way to the top.
Yep.
And then you'll be like, Nikki, what's my radio show date? I'll say, it's tomorrow. And don't forget about your oatmeal and blueberries.
Sorry, I was busy doing things on the internet. I apologize.
It's all good. And Brian, tell us any
Oh, sure. I should. You can find me. I'm a vegan chef and cookbook author, so you can find
and
me.
And baby maker, too.
And baby maker. Prolific baby maker. Almost too good at it.
Is that internet thing?
Yeah, exactly. you can find me at thesexyvegan.com. You can buy my cookbooks at 99publishing.com.
Love it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's all. Oh, I have to hit a button, you know? Stuff's different now.
Wait for it.
I think it's this one.
Why you know has friends.
Was that it? No, that's probably the wrong one.
No, that's good. On behalf of Brian and myself,
to Wake Up Hollywood.
We'll see you next week.
Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.